Everything is God. There is nothing which is not God. So whether it is whatever your predilection is, the thing that you choose because it warms your heart. For instance, I love turquoise. I happen to be wearing this color this evening because the divine said wear this color, and I do. And I honor that things of beauty resonate with that vibration of the divine. And often we forget how much beauty there is in the world and how deeply appreciative we are for that beauty. And this evening, I'd like to begin with two poems by Mira, such an extraordinary woman. Her years are 1498 to 1550. She is the most renowned woman poet saint of India. Her songs are sung by Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs alike. She was born a princess, and her great-grandfather was the founder of the city of Jaipur. She was a fierce champion for human rights, especially women's rights, and with a shocking wit and penetrating insight, would often expose the ridiculous aspects of politics, orthodox religion, the caste system, and chauvinistic oppression. As a finely educated woman, she composed her poems, songs, in the ancient tradition of classical Indian poetry. In fact, Mira's love songs are said to have helped revitalize and evolve North Indian music. And even today, her songs are very popular and sung by classical singers. Wow, what a lady. I know a cure for sadness. Let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile. I bet there are 100 objects close by that can do that. Laura, give me your hand. Now everybody just touch the person beside you. Thank you very much. And does that make you smile? I believe so. Look at the beauty. The beauty's gift to us. Her power is so great, she enlivens the earth, the sky, and our soul. And beauty is thus, truly, truly. In my travels, I spent time with a great yogi. Once he said to me, "Become so still, you hear the blood flowing through your veins." One night, as I sat in quiet, I seemed on the verge of entering a world inside, so vast, I know it is the source of all of us. Mm-hmm. And I believe that one of the reasons that we sit in silence is to come into that great stillness and into that great vastness. And as we've talked about, unless and until we can quiet the ego-conscious mind, it is very hard to experience that deep, deep quiet, that what I call the ocean of the divine. And often, as we evolve in our consciousness, the work that we're doing in the world, whatever that work of our hand might be, behind that work then begins to flow that beautiful sense of consciousness and love, and our ability to bring that oceanic experience even into the tiniest thing that we do, and how to translate what we experience in our prayer, meditation, or contemplation, and how we actually realize that in our lives. And as a dancer, I know that there was a huge possibility for me to be able to use this instrument of my physical body to speak of things which I could not verbalize. And in so doing, of course, I was amongst others who also did likewise. They were profoundly, excuse me, it's cold in here for me. It was a profound experience for me to be with individuals who likewise had such a reverence around their physical bodies, and to be able to have that beautiful wonder of knowing that spirit was flowing off our bodies every moment that we were dancing. And people would say, you know, how do you do what you do, you know, to my dance company and the dance company that I was in New York. And it was hard to explain because we had learned that the energy of our body did not stop here, that the energy of our body flowed way beyond this. And we called this the peripheral space. We called this the outer space. And then we had the inner space. And if we were doing a dance where we had to move into the outer space, that meant that we had to expand the consciousness of this energy that was flowing off of our bodies so that it was cohesive. Even though everyone might be doing something different, there was an energy that flowed through us all the time. And once we awakened to that, then, of course, whatever happened on stage was incredibly magical. Even though it was choreographed to the beat, done exactly, in perfection. But outside and beyond that was the energy that was really flowing amongst the dancers. And of course, it was that which we presented to the audience. It didn't end just because the stage stopped here. Our job was to be able, as one of my great teachers, Nikolai, said, you have to go all the way to the very back of the auditorium, to the last person on the last row that's in the balcony as well, and touch them. And everybody else, right up to the footlights. When we're in the God consciousness, when we're in the flow of the divine, we do not have any boundaries. That's how you know you're there. You don't have them. You're one with this incredible consciousness. And then, when you finish your silence or prayer or meditation or whatever it happens to be, then you go, and then you're back again, and you're all one piece. Now, often I have met people who have done deep, deep practice work, and they have come to me to say, why isn't my life working? I've been meditating for years, and it's not working. And, you know, I do this, and I do that, and but, you know. And I would sit with them, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to say something to you, and it's going to be a little disruptive to your ego, but this is the truth. I said, you are spiritually constipated. Now, what does that mean? When you're spiritually constipated, it means that everything got smushed down in here and it never went out there. And what we are in our God consciousness, we want to fully experience it in the physical. No denial of the physical, darlings. Right here, this is it. This is the God consciousness. This is the vessel, the sacred vessel in which the divine resides. And then our practice is to send it out and to do it with love. As a friend of mine said, his practice right now is the following. In every situation, he wants to arrive with an open heart. And he said, of course, I am being so challenged to do this because there are certain situations in which I find myself and I want to go, can't let it open here, could be dangerous. And he said, I just take a deep breath, and I say, it's like open sesame, just open and let it flow. This is a very, very extraordinary state of consciousness in which we reside. And our bodies already know how to do this. You do not have to teach your body how to do this. But you have to bring your consciousness to it so that you know when it's amplified out and when you are bringing it in. So when I'm sitting in the silence, actually I have to lie down because it knocks me down. When I'm lying down in the silence and the energy is within me and then I feel it expanding out, all right, in all directions, 360 degrees, and I feel, it's like, you know, that from Star Wars, the ripple in the Force. I feel a ripple in the Force, okay? I can feel that rippling energy of the consciousness moving out. And then holding what that is, experiencing what that is, still being conscious that I'm physically present. I don't leave that consciousness. And then allowing that to flow and come back into a place of stillness within me. And when I am with the ocean, and she is my great divine mother, made manifest in the physical, when the waves are coming upon the shore, it's almost as though I can feel her breathing. She breathes, and then the exhale, and then the inhale, and then the exhale. And as I feel the movement of the ocean from a distance, I can feel the energy of her as I extend my energy as far as the horizon. So the next time you're at the beach, you might want to just play with that a little bit and see how does the energy flow moving out and beyond, and then how does it feel coming in and into every cell of our body, so that the aliveness in our physical body is completely tactile. Do you know what I mean? This isn't something you're imagining. It's very tactile. And I can feel the vibration of this energy throughout my body. And the first time it ever happened to me was many years ago, and I was standing in my kitchen, and I don't cook, but I was standing there doing something. Probably wondering what I was going to do to boil water. I don't know, because I haven't a clue how to do those things. So I'm standing in my kitchen, this much I remember, and, you know, Michelle has to do all the cooking, but we eat a lot of raw, so that's how we get away with it. So I'm standing in my kitchen, and this energy just descends upon me, and it just, and I just fall down on the floor, on my back, and it just starts moving up and down and up and down and up and down. And I had read about the Kundalini, and I was very young when this happened. And the Kundalini is just, just, you know, and I'm just like, and I won't use a bad word. It was far out. It just took me, and I had to ride that wave. And when it was done, and I thought, my God, I've lived through that. This is pretty amazing. So I got up and kind of walked around, and I thought, I wonder if this is going to be for the rest of my life, that just unawares it's going to happen. And sure enough, unawares, it just starts, whoom, whoom. And I'm accustomed to it now, so it doesn't knock my socks off. But normally I ask, please don't let it be in public. I'd appreciate it if you could just kind of, you know, be where, you know, I'm going to be okay. I share this with you because as you begin to work energetically, you're going to, I'm assuming, as you open and receive these energies, you will have vibratory experiences. You will have tingling. You will have all manner of energies that are going to be around you and with you. And you may be doing the simplest thing, and upon you will come this energy. And it's breathtaking and it's beautiful. And part of what we agreed to do is do it in our everyday life. Not in the monastery, not in the ashram, not in the top of the mountain, but to be in the world and of the world. And that we would do it as part of who we are in our life. So I do not separate those kinds of experiences as being not normal. For me, they are normal. And each of us has our own kind of normalcy, how we experience the life and our physicality. Do y'all love your bodies? Mm-hmm. Do you love on your bodies? Do you say, thank you, body, you're a miracle? I mean, please, if you haven't already, please do. And even if your ego-conscious mind is saying, I don't want to do this. No. Just do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just send love, 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 love. The divine said, if you want to wake up, there's only one thing you have to do. Isn't that fabulous? Mm-hmm. I thought there were a whole bunch of things you had to do. The divine said, no, just one thing you have to do. Now I'm going to share it with you. Now when I do, you're going to smile. And I want you to start immediately Do not waste a second to practice this. So next time when you come in the room, you'll be more awake than you've ever been before in your entire life. How would that work? Is that cool?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, here we go. Now, some of you already know because it's such a simple thing. And when the divine told me this, I said, you've got to be kidding. And the divine said, no, dear, this is it. Here it is. Give thanks unceasingly, no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. No matter what. No matter what. So when something makes your hair stand on end, or you want to grit your teeth, or you want to say, why is that happening? You have to change gears and say thank you. Now, how can you say thank you when you see all those things which are less than love upon the earth plane? Because divine order is always in place. And it is not for us to know, perhaps in this lifetime, the meaning of what is unfolding in this moment. I do not question what is unfolding. My job is to hold it in my heart and give thanks for everything, everything, because all of it would not be on the earth plane were it not in divine order. It could not exist. And if we are the only ones on the earth plane to give thanks, would that be enough to shift the energy? Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times 10,000 times, which means that exponentially, it's already in the infinite. So if something is happening on the earth plane, and every single one of us in this room said, even for this I give thanks, it will change the vibration. Now, how often we do it and how true we are to giving thanks will determine how that particular energy will unfold. I have been amazed in my lifetime when the Berlin Wall went down. Get out of here. I didn't believe in my lifetime I'd ever see that. And what about Russia? I never thought I'd see Russia say, well, I guess we're going to go through some changes. And they're still going through it. I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. There are things that we have all seen in our lifetime. I have seen segregation and integration, and I have seen all of that disappear and become just the one. I have seen empires. And we have seen financial empires, business empires, all kinds of empires crumble. And we have seen coming out of that a grassroots that could never, ever have happened unless the crumbling had occurred. So no matter what it is, no matter what it is, to know that our thanks is coming from our heart and in love. And the divine will indeed visit you with that which you thought you would never give thanks for. It will be thus. And it will come not once, not twice, but three times. In three different ways, probably. So when it comes, you can go, oh, what was that lady's name who said it's going to come three times? Ah! Oh, no, here it is. And you can call me on the phone and say, I don't like this, but I'm still giving thanks. Okay. It is our ability to have unceasing love, which is expressed through thank you. And if someone were to say to me, what's more important, thank you or I love you, what would you say? Anyone?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you before I love you. Thank you. Because in order to love someone, you have to say thank you. That's how you love them. You love them because you thank them for being in your life. And then love can happen. But often, we don't even do the thank you part. And we never really get to love. We get to something else, but not necessarily love. So I honor and give thanks that we are in this extraordinary place in consciousness, and we have total freedom. I mean, we said we wanted to come to the United States of America. I mean, I had the... How many people were born in a foreign country besides me? Well, there are a bunch of us. Now, we had to be born someplace else and make our way here. Now, all of us sitting in this room, we are in the land of the free, regardless of how we may think about it politically or any other way. You can have any belief you want, any belief you want.
And there is no one who's going to come up to you and say, you can't have that belief. They will not do that. Because they're all over there having their own beliefs, right? Which may or may not be your belief, but you're not going to go to them and say, well, I don't think I like your belief. Why would we say that? Because we have complete freedom in this country. Complete freedom. And you can do pretty much whatever you want to do. Truly. Now, you might do it behind closed doors. And you might have your marijuana in the basement, but you can still have it as long as the cops don't get you. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of freedom in this country. A lot of freedom. My friends who've been dying of cancer and needed marijuana, and at the time we couldn't get any, so I called everybody I knew in America and I said, we need some marijuana and we need it pronto. We got some people here who are having a really hard time and I need some marijuana and I want you to get it to me as fast as you can, and I don't care whether it's liquid, solid, brownies, cookies, whatever form it's in, but these people are suffering and they need not suffer. And sure enough, little packages would come. And then I would go to the hospital and I would give it to whoever needed it. And if they were doing chemo, I'd say, here, this is it. Whatever it takes, folks, whatever it takes. Our love isn't about less than. Our love is about hearing the call of how we can not only give thanks for what we are and who we are, but that we may be of service. Now, they've just taken all the marijuana off the board here in Santa Barbara. You know, they've closed all the dispensaries. And those people who need it, I hope they will have friends who will be able to assist them. Because and these were all women, all the women who had the marijuana said to me, you cannot imagine the blessing it has been to me. Such a blessing. And I said, I know. And I would never want you to be without it while you're going through what you're going through. Now, each one of these women has passed, and I was greatly privileged to be with at least two of them as they were going through their passage. And the blessing of not only loving, but also giving thanks for the manner in which they were able to pass, which was without pain, to pass quietly, to pass in complete knowing of who they were and to be so loved and have no pain. So I honor that the way of the world and how we are now and our capacity to be able to be present for people no matter what their situation is. If someone had said, the major part of your life is going to be with people dying, I would have said, you have got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And I was told, no. This is what you're going to do. You're going to be a midwife for all the souls who are going to be passing, and you're going to be with them in their physical body, and then you will accompany their soul to the other side. And having said yes to that, even though in my heart of hearts I said, will I be strong enough to do that? And of course we are strong enough to do that. And because we have these wonderful gatherings of people to support us, there isn't anything that we can't accomplish. And because we're in this land where things, maybe it's done sub rosa, I grant you, but the result is that there is peace, there is love, there's no pain, there's complete surrender, and a passing that is full of love. Full of love. So, in giving thanks, every time I made the call and the marijuana was on the way, I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And how grateful I am that we can, in the ways of this world, be able to serve. Now, if the cops heard me, they'd probably say, that is true. And it is also true that the divine will give us the perfect way to serve. The perfect way to serve. And if anyone said, this is what you're going to be doing for these folks, I would have said, whoa, that's pretty scary. But the divine said, no. You're doing everything in love, and you're doing it in the light. So as we go through our days, it is that we compassionately and with our hearts open go to every experience that is brought unto us. As I have said, it appears that we're going into life. The contrary is happening. Life is coming unto us. We are stepping into that which is coming unto us. This is how it works. And there's a wonderful saying. It comes from, I think, the 16th century. They also serve who only stand and wait. And when I heard that, I said, teach me how to do that. Teach me how to serve as I stand and wait for that which is coming unto me. So that when it arrives, I am in that place of knowing what my service will be. And all I need do is ask, what is my service in this moment? And it will be shown to me. And then I will then, as it appears, step forward to do the service. But in truth, it is still coming unto me. You understand? So if this week you look at the events that are unfolding in your life and you say, oh, look, it's coming unto me. It appears that I drive my car to go someplace. But that's not really what's happening. It just appears that way. I am moving forward, but what is coming unto me is that which I am to receive at whatever my destination is. It is already coming to me as I'm going to the destination. So I no longer look at my life as this or this. I look at it as an unfoldment. I am unfolding as the divine is unfolding, and that energy of these two coming together makes an incredible level of consciousness, because I'm conscious of where I am, I'm conscious of the divine moving energetically to me, and then what is unfolding, and what will that look like? How will I be in that experience, whatever it happens to be? And being present is such an incredible moment. And Thich Nhat Hanh and so many wonderful teachers talk about being in the moment. And when I first heard that, I said, but that's what dancers do. They go moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. That's all they know. They don't know past and future. They just know this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment. And I thought, everybody ought to take a dance class. You know, just to understand what it is to be here, be here, be here, be here. Now, does anybody play a musical instrument here? Okay. If you play a musical instrument, then you know that to play that instrument, you have to be here and here and here and here and here. And you can't be thinking about anything else. And eventually, we call it a kinesthetic consciousness or kinesthetic memory. As dancers, when you are choreographing or working on a ballet, you get to the place where the movement is not thought about any longer. But it means that you are so fully present, because there's no part of you that's thinking about what you're supposed to be doing. You are fully doing it. And when I watch great athletes, you see that they are so fully present. They're just like, it's fabulous. And dancers are the same way. Now, most of the time in our ordinary life, where are we? Not here. Where are we? Either back there or out there. Would everybody agree with that? Mm-hmm. Most people, that's where they are. And you're already starting to work on this ahead, and you're being sure that this is complete, and the moment here is like, can't wait to get there, or, gosh, I better go back there again. Instead of, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So out of my dance energy, I said, I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to be here. And being here, particularly if you have an animal. Anybody have dogs or cats? What do they know? One thing. I'm here. That's right. That's one thing they know. I'm here. And then they'll go, where are you? Come on. Where are you? Come on, come on. I'm right here. I'm right here. I mean, you talk about a superb teacher. I mean, several of us in this room, we've said the greatest teachers we have are the animals we have. They are relentless. And that is a great virtue. And they'll say, are we ready? I mean, I'm upstairs getting ready for tonight, right? And I'm doing my doo-da-day. And Elkie's my dog. And Elkie comes up and she says, what are you doing? I am here. And it's time for you to feed me. And I went, well, honey, you're absolutely right. What am I doing here? I need to be with you. So we trot downstairs and, you know, fix the food. She's eating the food, you know. And I trot back upstairs to finish what I'm doing. I mean, they are so on top of it. And they're so loving and they're so happy. And even when you are neglecting them because you're busy doing whatever you think is totally important, those little tails are just wagging, those little faces are smiling, those little eyes are bright, you know, they will wait upon you until you get it. It's incredible, incredible. If we had that level of consciousness, our lives would look totally different. So our practice is, can we be like that? And the answer is, yes. But often, the littlest thing can attract the ego and say, oh, wait a minute, we're not going to be there right now. We got to be over here, because that's where a little bit, And then it's like, meeny, meeny, miny, mo. No, it's like here, here, here. And the beauty of here is that everything unfolds here. The here is where it's happening, not there and not here, right here. So I honor that if all of us this week, just for fun, would just say, I think I'll be here. And then the next moment, I think I'll be here. And I'll be here. And if we were here with an open heart, what would that look like? What would that feel like? Because often when I get out of my car, I have finished my driving, and I'm already thinking about what? Where I'm going. I'm not thinking about an open heart, and I'm not thinking about thank you. I'm thinking about over there. So my practice now, and I recommend this if you're interested, every time you go through a doorway or open a door or close a door, understand that that's the beginning of the next here. So when I close my car door, I'm here, and I'm here while I'm driving. And then when I open the door, I am leaving this here to go to the next here, and I close that door, but I'm here. Close my car door, and I'm here. And then as I walk from wherever space I'm going, I say, what is the consciousness of moving from this point to that point? What is that consciousness? And how may I move in that consciousness with such a sublime grace and ease that when I arrive, usually to the next door, yes, or the doorway, if the door is open, that I am moving through there and holding the consciousness into the next space, wherever that happens to be. It is a practice of being able to hold being here in every moment, being here, being here. Now, one of the things that I didn't realize we were going to talk about that tonight, but thank you, God. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening is how we are brought to a deeper awareness of ourselves through art and beauty. Art, for me, is an extraordinary expression of the divine. And we have so much beauty in our lives that sometimes we don't even recognize and say thank you for. I mean, I walk in this room and I say, thank you for this room. Thank you for these chairs. Thank you for maybe the heat being on. Thank you for all these possibilities of energy that are available in this room, which is just a room. But what's really going on in this room is far beyond the room itself. And we all bring that here. So when you close your car door and you come through that doorway, you bring beauty. You bring love, you bring light, hopefully joyfulness. You bring that consciousness of who you are in this room. And that consciousness exponentially grows because there are two or more of us who are in this room. Now, when you leave this room, the energy of this room will not leave you. It cannot leave you. It is who you are. And it is made up of all the consciousnesses of us here. And all of us and our hearts, and all of us and our love. And wherever you go, we go with you. Hope y'all like each other. Oh my God, I didn't know she was going to come with me. Yes, we all love each other, Lord, it's okay. You want to take the energy with you. It never ends. And when I go into a place, I don't just go into a place, I go into a place. Do you understand? I go fully into that place. And I remain there until I'm finished, and then I'm fully out of that place. But that consciousness of how we move and have our being in the world is very, very important. And art and beauty assist us in being able to do that level of conscious awareness. I want to share with you, this was many, many years ago, I was in my early 30s, and I was dating a guy who loved reggae. And I love all kinds of music, and I've danced to every kind of music, and no music. And I think it was Bob Marley's son. And, oh, it was a big deal, and it was in this huge, great big place, and, you know, a field house, and they had these gigantic speakers, and we went with another couple. And they said, you know, we got some of the really best seats. We're going to be right in front of one of the big speakers. Oh, no. And I went, oh, yeah, boy, yeah, boy. Okay, and there are only like 1,000 people here, right? And the band comes out, and everybody's saying, ah, you know, and everybody's smoking, and the air is just like thick as fog. And everybody's got a spleef, you know? Okay. And I don't smoke, and I don't drink, and I'm just like, whoa. So there we are in front of the speaker, and the music starts, and it's and everybody gets up, and we're just dancing and dancing. You know, it's a really long show, about 2 hours long. And then they said, okay, we're done. They walk off stage. Well, then the crowd said, no, we got to have, you know, one more round. Come on. Encore. Okay. So they come out, and they play this amazing piece. And everybody's standing up by this time, and everybody's totally out of it by this time. And I'm just trying to hold it together, and my eardrums are just aching. It's so loud. And while this piece is playing, this extraordinary thing happens. My heart chakra just goes and just goes way out into the forever, and I'm going, and I thought I think I might fall down, but there were so many people, I said, don't worry, Mary, you just hang on, girl. And it just was unbelievable. And then the music ended and everybody clapped, you know, and they wanted more, and the guy said, no, we're done. And I wanted to turn to the people I was with and say, I'm having this extraordinary experience. And then I realized they would think that I was just looped. I was completely out of my head. So I said, okay, we could do this. So I just walked as best I could walk with the crowd. We got out, and we, you know, long way to find the parking lot, got in the car, and it's this just like, unbelievable energy. And I get back home, and I think, wow, this is unbelievable. It can happen anywhere, anytime. It isn't something that just happens in the Holy of Holies. I mean, this was the Holy of Holies. This was the Holy Grail for everybody in that place except me. I didn't know it was going to be the Holy of Holies. And suddenly, to have this extraordinary experience, I said, ah, thank you, God. So I see that the evolution of the consciousness can happen anywhere at any time. The expansion, the awareness, whatever you want to call it, that divine being that we are is expressing through us in such extraordinary ways. And when I shared it with a group of people I was working with, they said, we want to go to a reggae concert immediately. And I said, there's no guarantee you'll have it there, darlings. You may have it while you're in the bathtub or the shower. Who knows where you're going to have it? But if and when it is in divine order that the expansion will occur this way, so it will be. You will have these experiences. And having these experiences through music, I mean, music has had such a profound impact on my life and in my spiritual consciousness. It has been profound. And art has been an exquisite expansion of my consciousness. When I was a teenager, I was given the privilege to go to New York City with a group of people. We were being honored. And I went to the Modern Museum of Art. And I had always loved modern art, but I'd never seen, you know, the masters. And I looked around the first floor and didn't look very interesting. So there are some stairs, two flights of stairs, and each flight takes you to another level of the museum.
And I walked up the first flight of stairs, and there was a Jackson Pollock. Now, for those of you who don't know Jackson Pollock, he's the guy who took the paint for the first time ever and broke all the rules and just splattered it and threw it and made this extraordinary explosion of energy. And here is one of his great Jackson Pollocks right there. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and I said, and there's the divine. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen the divine like that. Mm-hmm. And I went, thank you. I cannot believe that I'm actually seeing an energy field that is like the divine that I have felt inside me and that I have watched as a dancer. When I've watched other people dancing, I have seen that, and here it is on a canvas. It was remarkable. And I realize that so many of the moments we have in our lives, we think they're going to be ordinary, but it's only our ability to see what the extraordinary is. I mean, I turned to some of these other people, I said, look at this! And they went, what's that? That's awful. It's just scribbles. It's just, you know, S-H-I-T. And I said, actually, okay. Not for everyone to see God the way you see God, or hear the way you hear God, or experience the inpouring of energy within you. You cannot compare yourself to anyone else and say, I want that. Because what's happening for all of us is absolutely, perfectly in alignment with why we came into this embodiment. We came into this embodiment to have this body and show up in these particular ways, the exact way that we do. And when we realize that, then we can relax, I hope, relax into it and say, oh, how interesting. This is my costume this time. Well, okay. And this is how I'm going to see the world. Okay. And this is how I'm going to hear. And this is how I'm going to feel. And this is how I'm going to respond. And this is how I'm going to withhold. The ego is going to have its way. Your soul is going to have its way. And the dance of these two energies will be profoundly, profoundly awakening. So, if we allow our ego to be very clear, no muddy, we can identify clearly when our ego is at work and identify clearly when our soul is at work. And we can identify when the ego has come into alignment with our soul. And this is very important, because if we do not know when this alignment occurs, then it will mean nothing to us. But if we have done our work and we have honored that we have both of these energies within us, then the alignment can occur. Most of us in this embodiment have felt this in our ego at some time or another. And if you haven't, please try to experience it as soon as possible and get it over with. You gotta have this part. Now, when this happens, when that energy unfolds, and the ego no longer has its grip upon you, then something else can happen. And the soul, meanwhile, is in this extraordinary place of at-one-ment. And the energy of the soul is always moving and having that sweet level of holding, nurturing of the ego while you're experiencing whatever you're experiencing. And that love of soul, which is the divine, is so profound that it will change everything. Everything. But we have to have the consciousness to know that that is so. If you're not conscious of it, it will not happen. If you're conscious of it, it will then begin to manifest through you in very beautiful ways. I want to share a painting with you this evening. The first time I saw this painting, it just gripped me. And it tore open a lot of walls that I had created from my childhood for protection and for the need to say, it's so difficult out there, it's so harsh. I felt like I was just being rubbed with sandpaper. Anybody had that feeling where the exterior world feels like it's just rubbing you like sandpaper? I was just so hard. And I had to learn
that it was very important for me to be able to handle the sandpaper, that I couldn't run away from it, I couldn't hide it. I had to know what that was, because that's part of the human experience, is it not? And when I saw this painting, it, as I say, it just took me right down to the root of consciousness. And having seen it and held it in my consciousness, I had the opportunity, the last time I was in Bali, to actually dance this portrait, this picture that I'm going to show you. And I didn't even know it was going to happen. But it descended upon me, and I got clearly you're to out-picture through your body what this picture is. And it was such a profound release to be able to have the vision of what it was and to be able to enact it in my body so that I would be completely released of this old energy. And this particular artist, he didn't do a lot of paintings, but this in particular is wonderful. And you'll know it immediately. It's Edward Munch, and it is The Scream. And I'd like you to pass it around the room. When I saw that, I realized that every human being has a silent scream that is inside of them. And that silent scream is so powerful. And until we have acknowledged that scream and allowed it to scream through us, however it chooses to do that, and then we clear ourselves of it. And in clearing ourselves of it, we also assist humanity in clearing it within them. Every war is a scream. Every argument is a scream. Every judgment we have toward ourselves or another is a scream. And if you have not heard your own scream, I would invite you to hear it. If not tonight, then in the privacy of your own home or wherever. Because we also are carrying that scream. And when I saw this, I realized how profound the image was, and that we, moving on a path, regardless of what that path might look like, that it is for us to honor the pain and the suffering that is on this planet. And this scream is part of that pain and suffering. And if we allow our scream to go up, out, and through us, and beyond us, outside of us, and give it to the divine, because it also is divine. Mm-hmm. It is that part which has been contracted and held through every embodiment. Every embodiment, we have had the scream within us. And we're being invited to let that go. Now, what will fill the place where that scream was? Love. Love is the only thing that can fill that space. And we bring that love to that place. Nature abhors a vacuum. So if you release that scream, then what comes in will be that love. And as a result of allowing the love to come in, there will be a magnificent and subtle shift that will occur, not only within ourselves, but within everyone we look upon. Because we know that in our humanity, we all share everything. There isn't someone who has something we don't have. We have everything within ourselves that everyone else has. But we are free to be able to decide if we will let go of this. And this is all the pain and all the wounding, all the hurt, all those aspects that we said we're going to, you know, our ego conscious mind says we're going to keep running these old stories over and over and over and over again. And I finally said, I will not run these stories anymore. I'm finished with these stories. But I know that I have to do this scream. And
I honor that in physicalizing it, which is what I needed to do because I'm a physical person and my body is trained how to do this, that I was able to let that go out of me, out of all my cells, and something else could have a space. So the spaciousness was there, the spaciousness. Now, you do not have to do this. You may be in friends with your screen. You might need it still. If you need it, keep it, right? Don't give anything up you're not ready to let go of. But if you still have that scream inside you and you need to scream it and let it go, then please do. It's very, very wonderful that we have the freedom to choose which we want to do. And I honor that as part of walking on this path, we have to be able to let go of everything, everything that is less than love. You cannot wake up. You cannot wake up unless you've let it all go. That's what awakening is. And it is awakening. It is a process. There are people who have that quick awakening, but if they haven't done their work, it won't last very long. Share just a short story with you. I have a friend that I work with on the phone, and he knows the aspect of the old saying about death and dying, and also that the dark night of the soul. Has anybody heard that expression, dark night of the soul? Okay. That's a bunch of bahooey, huh? Ain't true. Okay. Now, it started about a couple of thousand years ago, actually. And that's when people were still doing spirit worship and so on. And then several hundred years ago, when the clergy and those who were in religious energies wanted to find something that they could pin the less than loving things on. And they said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pin it on the soul. And so the soul became the repository of all the negative things that were going on. And then Jung and Freud showed up. Oh, bless those guys. They said, you know, there might be something else going on here, but we're not really sure, but we're going to try and figure it out. One said, I'm going to do it through dreams. The other said, I'm going to do it this way. And then they would chat, and off they'd go and do their thing. Changed the whole landscape of the consciousness. Bless their hearts. So my friend calls me and says, this very famous spiritual teacher had called him about something and said to him, I think I'm going through the dark night of the soul. And my friend said, well, actually, that's not possible. What you're going through is the dark night of the ego. And this spiritual teacher said, I beg your pardon. My friend said, actually, this is the deal. And so he began to describe, you know, the difference in the blah, 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 blah. And so at the end of the conversation, this spiritual teacher said to him, okay, so I'm in the dark night of the ego, but I'm still in the dark night of the soul. So, honey, you can be in the dark night of anything you want to be in the dark night of, okay? But if you decide that you want to relinquish being in the dark night of anything, then that's your choice. And I don't want to be in the dark night of anything anymore. I mean, how many embodiments have we been in the dark night of I don't know what? Everything. I mean, everything. Dark, black. Okay. No. No more. No more. So when the divine said, please ask Michelle to get on the computer and find this picture and have a copy made, and there was a little resistance, but just a teeny bit, because he doesn't like to do it on Sunday. He said, I don't ever turn the computer on Sunday. And I said, could you just make one? You know, I mean, I can't get the information Monday through Saturday. Sometimes Sunday the divine says, this is what you got to do with. So then I go to Michelle and I say, the divine told me I need to do this. He said, well, hurrah.
But then he said, all right, okay. So we turned the computer on, and you know, there are only 6,000 of these paintings, all different colors. I mean, you know, it was just amazing. So finally, I said, that one right there. Made a copy of it. Here it is. To know that the scream, and it's called the scream, but I call it the silent scream, because the divine said, look at humanity. Look right now into humanity. Hear this. See this. Know this. Okay? When we let it go, the potential and possibility for more and more to let go, it will unfold. We don't have to do one thing except be clear that we've let the scream go. And it used to be that I would scream and I would get old t-shirts, because dancers have old t-shirts, a lot of them, and I would just scream and just rip those t-shirts. Oh, man, felt so good. I just wanted to destroy them. So, and I finally got over that. But, you know, I'm a quadruple Scorpio, so I have a lot of energy. So good thing I do this from time to time. So when people say to me, how am I going to get rid of this? I said, get some old t-shirts. Go in the wilderness. And if you can't go in the wilderness, go in your car. Go someplace, park in a parking lot where nobody else is. Roll up all the windows, scream as loud as you can, and start pulling. And just yank and tear until it's done. And if you need to do it several times, do it several times. I believe that we are here in our humanity to let go of as much of this energy as possible, so that we are clear in the consciousness that we carry. And if we're clear in the consciousness we carry, the one thing we're always going to have is love. Unto self, unto others, and there will be no disconnect. It will always be there. It is only those aspects of ourselves that we have not yet blessed and loved and said thank you for that keep us from not waking up fully to the truth of our being.